We've been working on this series immeasurably more in 24. And trying to help us to gather together and to desire God not just to give us immeasurably more. That kind of often is the top of our list. Sure, I would like immeasurably more. But more importantly, I believe, for God to help us do immeasurably more. For God to help us be immeasurably more. To our coworkers, to our fellow students, to our neighbors, to our family members. You see, God's desire, His purpose in calling us to Himself, in filling us with His Spirit, isn't simply that we would be better people. It's so that we would represent Jesus to those who are lost, to those who are, as Jesus put it, lost and helpless, who are harassed like sheep without a shepherd. So we've been talking about various things that God desires to see in us and do through us that are immeasurably more. We've talked about immeasurably more love, and immeasurably more. Last week we talked about immeasurably more giving and ways to apply that. And this morning we're going to focus in on immeasurably more compassion. If everybody needs it, who's giving it? Now, obviously, the source of the compassion that we need, the source of the compassion that we ought to extend to others is God. He sets the example. He shows us how it ought to be done. But I think sometimes we struggle with that because we don't have a good grip on what it means. I looked it up, and today's modern dictionaries typically refer to compassion as sympathy or pity, or a caring. And those elements exist within it, but it's so much bigger, it's so much deeper, it's so much more full of meaning. And I think part of the issue is we get caught up in using passion in a way that isn't the same way that God used it. When we think of passion, we think of often in that love or lust relationship we see between a man and a woman. And when they're passionately in love, and we talk about it being extreme, we talk about it being intense. But think about what we refer to as Passion Week. What we refer to the movie that was Passion of the Christ, it was more than intense. It had to do with the suffering of Christ. And at the heart of passion is the willingness to suffer for someone else. And at the heart of compassion is to come alongside one another and suffer together so that we are all lifted up. And we must not forget that that's the purpose. Otherwise, we come along and suffer with one another and simply throw a big pity party, and it actually makes things worse. And that's not compassion. And so if we recognize that everybody needs compassion and that this compassion comes from God. You see, we often want someone who's willing to suffer with us, but not in the sense of a pity party, but in a way that provides companionship, in a way that provides help. I think of the book of Job and Job's friends, which often get, well, a bad reputation because they weren't always that helpful. But there was a period of time where they simply came and they sat with Job in silence. And I think sometimes if they had maintained that longer, they may not have spoken with such foolishness as they did at different times throughout that book. But we struggle in simply sitting with someone and sharing in their suffering in a way that makes them aware that they're not alone. And Jesus came to earth to live as one of us, to show us that we are not alone. One of the titles that He was given when He came to earth and was born was Emmanuel. God is with us. And it's His being with us that extends that compassion that helps us know that He understands. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. It's part of that suffering. It's part of that temptation. It's part of that acknowledgement. How many times have you gone through something in life and someone has come along and say, yeah, it's not that bad? And your first reaction is, what do you know about it? Because if somebody had truly gone through what you're going through, they would probably come along and say, I understand how terrible this is. That's compassion. But when we share that compassion, it's not simply a matter of I understand how terrible this is. I understand there's a God that can help us through this. Nothing on this earth is permanent. As believers in Jesus, as those that have been filled with God's Spirit, we get out of here alive and whole and healthy and well and praising God for eternity. And so in the meantime, we have compassion. We share with one another. You see, not only did Jesus join in the suffering of individuals when he walked on this earth, he joined in our suffering of sin as he took our sins upon him and went to the cross. And to cry out from that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many times have we felt, how many times have you felt forsaken by God? It's in that suffering that we recognize Jesus identifies with us and we can identify with him. You see, we reflect the immeasurably more compassion of God when we choose that now is a time to care. And I know care, as I've already said, is kind of a weak element of compassion, but as we define and use each of those letters to help us gaze into compassion, I think we can apply how this looks. We're going to be spending some time in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Peter writes and he says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Now, that's a lot. And I believe he goes on and says, this is how you do all of that. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you might inherit a blessing. For it is written, whoever would love life must see good, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for evil. What does it look like to live with a greater compassion, to recognize that this compassion calls all of us into a time to care for one another, to care for our neighbors, to care for our loved ones, to care for our enemies? I believe this caring begins when we recognize that now is a time to comfort one another. Part of this recognition of suffering is to realize that we don't need, we don't desire, we don't appreciate being beat up over something that is troubling us. God's desire as he works through us is to help us bring comfort to one another just as he has brought comfort to us. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." This immeasurably more compassion that God wants us to live with is a compassion that seeks to provide comfort. And we come alongside of one another. And we're willing to help shoulder that suffering so that the burden is not too great on any individual. We talked a little bit about that last week in the immeasurably more giving, and that idea that we share with one another, and it's not simply sharing our stuff, it's sharing our life. And when we recognize the needs of one another, we recognize the things that bring about pain and suffering, we share in that, number one, so they're not alone, but number two, so that it can be resolved. As I said, it's not simply a pity party. It's a matter of learning God's desire that we build up one another. This immeasurably more compassion draws us to a point of comforting one another, of recognizing that there are times that our suffering is because of our actions. Our suffering is because of decisions and choices that we have made. And Peter writes and he says, when that happens, you still comfort one another, but you recognize that there are changes that ought to take place so it doesn't continue. But he also says there's times that our suffering comes about because we're doing good and the evil one doesn't like it. And in the midst of that, we continue to comfort one another. We continue to hold one another up in prayer and in fellowship and in togetherness. It's that reason that we continue to dwell on this concept of creating an atmosphere that feels like home here at Deer Run. A place of belonging that we can grow together, we can be comforted together, we can be strengthened together. And so this immeasurably more compassion brings about an immeasurably more gift of caring that begins with comfort. I'm guessing that if we can remember back that far, we've all experienced times when some of the smallest things brought some of the greatest comfort. I think of toddlers who you simply slap a Band-Aid on any little boo-boo and they all of a sudden feel better. Yeah, you kiss it too. That always helps. And it's a lesson that we learned as small children that we often forget. It's that act of caring. It's that act of comfort. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It simply has to be us willing to be involved. The second part, when we recognize this immeasurably more compassion is a time to care, is that it's a time to appreciate. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Why do we bless even when it looks like there's evil going on? We bless because we appreciate one another. The Bible says that all have sinned. I'm guessing that includes every person in this room. That's kind of the nature of all. And so we learn, even in the midst of our failures, even in the midst of the stumbling that we do, to appreciate one another and to let them know that. When I first looked at this, I was going to use accept as the A. But I think appreciate is an even greater thing. Sometimes we accept people, but we kind of accept them as, Well, yeah, you're a part, but you're not really. You're here, but leave me alone. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 7, to accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And as I dwelt upon that verse and I thought about how it is that God has accepted me, I landed on that word appreciate. I don't know how many times you've thought about it, if you've ever thought about God appreciating having you as one of His children. He desired for every one of us to belong to Him, to be a child of His. And so many times we look at our own life and we compare it to the lives of others and we say, well, I'm just lucky to get in. And God wants you to know how much you're appreciated by Him, how much you're valued by Him. This compassion, this willingness of Jesus to suffer on our behalf and to suffer with us is not because He had to. It's because He wanted to. It's because His compassion was so great that He wanted each person to know how valuable they are. You're here this morning, whether you're here in person, whether you're watching online, you're here because God created you and designed you to be you. And so many times we let the world mess that up. But it has to go beyond simply knowing that we're appreciated and valued by God. His desire is that we would share that appreciation for one another as we accept one another, we appreciate one another just as He has accepted us. This compassion that everyone needs is a sense of value and purpose and belonging. And so we come to God and we come to one another. And we say, welcome home. You belong. And we continue to encourage and build up one another, expressing our appreciation, expressing the goodness of God within those around us. Even when it seems like things aren't what they should be, we continue to seek out ways to appreciate, to encourage, to be family. I can tell you that my behavior was not always what it should have been growing up. I know it's a shock. But I always felt valued and appreciated at home. And that's the value and appreciation that God has for us, that He wants us to have for one another. And we learn this immeasurably more compassion as we take time to care, as we comfort one another, as we appreciate one another, as we restore one another. He gives us instruction. Peter writes, and he gives us instruction about those that would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and lips from deceitful speech. Must turn from evil and do good, must seek peace and pursue it. How do we do that? We do that within family. He says there's a place of belonging, there's a place of appreciation, and there's times where we feel estranged from that place, and it's our responsibility to restore one another. And we seek out that sheep, that lamb, that one that has wandered. Jesus tells the story of the shepherd who had counted his sheep at night, and as they came into the fold, there were 99, but he knew he had 100 sheep. And so he left those 99. He did not abandon them, as some might claim. He made sure those 99 were safe, and he went out to seek that one and bring a restoration. This compassion looks for those that are hurting, and sometimes the pain that we experience in life brings about a separation. And sometimes it's a separation of guilt. Sometimes it's a separation of shame. Sometimes it's a separation of choice. But a compassion that comes from God and ought to flow through us is a caring that brings about a restoration and a desire to restore others. The Bible says that while we were enemies with God in our mind, Christ died for us. He sought to restore us to Himself while we were His enemies. And I know sometimes we hear that, well, I was never God's enemy. Well, until we surrendered to Christ and made Him Lord, we were against Him whether we recognized it or not. And we needed restored, and He came to bring that restoration. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 says, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The restoration work is necessary, but it's dangerous. And God wants us to be aware that this compassion will bring about a life-changing choice in our life. So when we are called upon to restore one another, it's so critical that we continue to keep a firm grasp on the things of God, even as we reach out to those that need restored. Before we start thinking too highly of ourselves, we've all been there. We've all been in that position of needing restoration. And God has been willing, and He has sent others to help us. We live with immeasurably more compassion when we learn to care and to recognize it's a time to comfort, it's a time to appreciate, it's a time to restore. But all of that really leads us to a time to embrace. As I've mentioned throughout this, it's one thing to be a part of the group, but not be a part of the group. You're there, but you're not included. I was this scrawny little kid in school and rarely got picked, if there was any choice, for any of the sports teams. When we'd divide up at recess or gym class, I was the last one, and if it was something that everybody had to be chosen, I'd eventually make a team, but it was like, well, you stay over there, and we'll do the game, and if half the team dies, we'll bring you in. So I was a part, but I wasn't a part. Now, so you don't feel too badly for me, I didn't mind. I was terrified of people, and so not having to be included was not a terrifying thing to me, but for some it was. But to recognize that this compassion that God wants us to live with in an immeasurably more way is a compassion that embraces those who we comfort. It embraces those that we appreciate. It embraces those that we restore. It's not a matter of, well, you can come back, but you have to sit in the back row. Well, those are the prime seats. You have to sit in the front row. It's a welcome. It's a belonging. I think of the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, really is a story of two prodigal lost sons. They were just prodigal and lost in different ways. But the primary one that we often focus on realized just how lost he was. The older son didn't seem to realize how lost he was. He needed that comfort. He needed that appreciation. He needed that restoration. And as he's stooping down to eat pig slop, He comes to his senses, the Bible says, and he realizes where to find that. He could find the comfort. He could find the appreciation. He could find the restoration back at his father's house. But he knew he had brought disgrace upon his father. He knew that he had been wasteful. He knew that he had made choices that were horrible choices. He knew he did not deserve anything that he once had. And so he thought in his mind, if I can just go back and get a job. I've blown it being a son. But if I could hire on my dad's farm, I'd be a whole lot better off than I am now. It wouldn't be the same, but I would still have some comfort. I would still have some appreciation. I would still have some restoration. And this son was thinking that would be enough. That's not the way the dad was thinking. Luke 15:20 says, so he got up, the son got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, I understand if you want to do a deep dive into the language that was written in, it's a continual action. It's just not this little hug and pat on the back and peck on the cheek. But this was a continual, not letting go type embrace. This was a genuine desire and welcome to be home. You see, everyone does need compassion. The kindness of a Savior. They also need compassion and the kindness of a Savior's representative. That's you, that's me. We live in a time that we can do immeasurably more accurately. God can do immeasurably more in us and through us when we live with an awareness of just how much compassion God has shown towards us. Because when we live with that awareness of how much compassion God has shown towards us, it ought to compel us to extend that compassion to others. One of the reasons that we often look at people in need and of need specifically of compassion and feel no pity, no sorrow, no whatever is in our mind, we say they deserve it. In other words, we're saying, I'm better than they are. They deserve it, I don't. And when it comes to walking with Christ and living in relationship with Him, we are all on the same plane and we all need that same compassion from God. We all need that same compassion from one another. I suspect if there were some invention that could be passed down from row to row, and as it passed, that every thought from this past week would be displayed on the screen, we would realize pretty quickly how much we all need compassion. We all need a Savior. We all need comfort. We all need appreciation. We all need restoration. We all need embrace. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, in just a moment after the song, I'm going to have Irma Rice come up, and she's going to share a little bit about testimony about how that compassion impacts people. But before we get to that, there's a decision that each one of us have to make. Do I care enough about God to be compassionate toward people? And I think sometimes you probably heard that and you may have thought, wait a minute. I care enough about God to be compassionate toward Him. This isn't about people. But God says it is. And I suspect that we're gathered here in a room specifically to worship God and to honor Him. that our church answer, at least, would be, of course I care enough about God to be compassionate to people. The bigger question is, what's your Monday answer? Not an answer with your words, but an answer with your actions. When that coworker that just gets under your skin almost every day does the same thing when you arrive at work tomorrow that they've been doing for 6 months, and you feel that you're suffering, but are you willing to step into their suffering to bring about comfort, appreciation, restoration, embrace? This isn't something that's just done blindly. God's desire is that we are transformed. And His desire is not that we simply go along with the ways of the world, the ways of evil. The passage you read out of 1 Peter says that if you want to live this kind of life, you must turn away from evil. But we recognize that the battle is not against flesh and blood. The evil that is being done comes from a source that not only can be defeated, but has been defeated by Jesus. And so this time of decision is a time to decide. Will I choose this path of compassion? Will I choose now is a time to care? When I go to school, when I go to work, when I go to the market, when I go home, will it be a time to comfort? Will it be a time to appreciate? Will it be a time to restore? Will it be a time to embrace? I love watching what God is doing at Deer Run as we continue to grow. Grow in numbers, perhaps, but grow spiritually, grow relationally, grow in love. And I believe that God is continually doing immeasurably more than we can think or ask. And one of those ways is He's going to use Deer Run to do immeasurably more in the area of compassion. Last week in our immeasurably more giving, we introduced a focus on collecting some things for Hope Ministries, and that will continue through the end of the month, and there's information in your bulletin about that. And we'll be able to take that down and to not only give immeasurably more, but to show compassion to those who are needing the ministries that they provide. But all of that comes out of relationship with Jesus. And so if you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you have never surrendered to Jesus, that's where it starts. And I would love to have that conversation with you. And we're going to have a time of decision. And if you're here and you need to talk with someone and pray with someone about a decision that you need to make, then you're welcome to come and meet me in the room over here to my left. If you're watching online and you need to make that decision, reach out through the platform you're watching on and we'll get back with you. But for all of us, whether it's something you need to talk with me about, whether it's something you need to sit down with someone else in this room about, whether it's something you just sit with God, I pray that you make that decision to live with immeasurably more compassion. And that the world knows that you belong to Jesus because of the way you love one another, a love that cares. Would you stand as we sing?